Good morning and welcome to. Can you hear me? Is it on?
Speak up, Tony.
Good morning and welcome to worship. We give extend a warm welcome to Anita, who's going to bring God's word to us today. And we had our Macmillan Tea Party on Wednesday, including a donation from our friends at Hanover Court. We raised £382.75 on the day. Our online appeal stands at £90, so our total so far is £472.75, and we've had another £15 in cash come in this morning, so that makes £487.75 raised so far. Thank you.
The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Let's join together in the singing of our first hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving Lord, fill us with your life-giving, joy-giving, peace-giving presence, that we may praise your name with our lips and all day long with our lives. Help us to give our minds and our hearts to you in our worship this morning. May we really want to do what you ask of us. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now Pippa is going to bring us our Bible reading. Thank you, Pippa. Sorry, just come. Fortunately, Pippa and I know each other quite well.
We've known each other for 51 years.
Is that how long it is?
Yeah.
No good guess, could they?
No, not possibly. Complete stranger. The reading this morning is taken from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 19, and you'll find it on page 371, if you want to follow it. And it's the story of Naaman. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. "If you will not," said Naaman, "please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm, and I have to bow down there also, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this. Go in peace," Elisha said.
Thank you, Pippa. See? So before we come to look at the story of Naaman, we're going to sing again, number 975. "Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is Love, who ever lives and pleads for me." The Bible is full of stories. I love a good story. I hope you too. You do too. And this is one of my favourites. So we've got here two main characters. An unknown girl and a great general. So let's start with the girl. She was probably a teenager. She lived in Israel nearly 1,000 years before Christ was born. And she lived in hard times, times of intertribal warfare, not, alas, so very different from what is happening nowadays. She was a prisoner of war, kidnapped during a Syrian border raid into Israel and living in the part of Syria where the city of Aleppo now stands. She had become a slave in the home of the conquering general, and she waited on his wife. So just imagine it. Uprooted from her home, snatched away by a fierce and warlike raiding party. Think of the sense of loss and grief. She's away from her family. She's away from her friends in a strange land with a foreign language, different food, different customs, different gods. She is a servant in a place she did not choose to be. Let's remind ourselves that today, half the refugees in the world are children and young people. Many have lost their families through war or imprisonment or persecution or genocide. And they too have been unwillingly separated from all they know and love. And yet, as we shall see, God used this girl. We don't even know her name. He used her in a remarkable way. It's a great principle in Scripture that God uses the most unlikely people. When he called Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, Moses said, "Oh no, they won't listen to me. I'm no good at speaking. Choose someone else." But God said, "I am who I am. I'll tell you what to say." When God called Jeremiah to be a prophet, Jeremiah said, "I'm only a child. I don't like everyone looking at me." God said, "Don't be afraid of their faces. I'll be with you." When God wanted David to be anointed king, David's father said, "Oh, you won't want him. He's only a shepherd boy. He's the youngest. He's not even here." But God said, "You're looking at the outside appearance. I'm looking at the heart." Let's look at the other main character in the story. His name is Naaman. He was commander of the army of the king of Aram, or as I prefer to say, Syria. It's more or less the same place. He was a powerful and highly successful soldier in one of the most precarious careers in the ancient world. He had survived many battles. Interestingly, the writer to the the writer of the passage of 2 Kings attributes his success to the God of Israel. It says the Lord had given victory to Syria. This reminds us that God is the one who controls the destinies of all nations, even pagan nations. So Naaman, he had a top job and all the rewards that went with it, but he had leprosy. Beneath Naaman's splendid uniform was the terrible secret. He was the victim of a most loathsome skin disease, which was, to all intents and purposes, incurable. Money, fame, and power in themselves are notoriously unsatisfying. As a popular, successful novelist was once asked what he wished he had been told when he was a child, and he replied, "I wish that someone had told me that when you finally get to the top, there is nothing there." In so many success stories that we can read about, there is a but. And for Naaman, it is but. He was a leper. And did you know that leprosy still exists today? It's not just an ancient biblical disease. Severe discrimination means that people with leprosy often hide their symptoms as long as possible, which is, of course, the worst thing they could do. For many, the pain of rejection is the worst thing about a leprosy diagnosis. And if you want to find out more, there's a leaflet like this. Joy's got some. And please ask her if you can have one, just to remind you that leprosy still exists. So let's look again at the girl. See how confident she is. Verse 3, she said to her mistress, "If only what my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." She was absolutely certain that God, through the prophet Elisha, could and would cure Naaman. She didn't waste time blaming God for allowing her to be captured and carried off to a heathen land. She didn't doubt God or become resentful, as she might well have done. There isn't a hint that she gave way to bitterness or self-pity. Here she was, captive in Naaman's household, and yet she could not bear to see her master suffer. She was so compassionate. Imagine it. Her captor, her enemy, was dying of an incurable disease. You'd have thought she might have been glad. Serves him right. But instead of rejoicing, she felt sorry for him and she wanted him cured. Do we really care about people we know who don't know Jesus? Do we feel compassion for them? Many want to know that God loves them. Let's be courageous as this girl was. Let's face it, she could easily have kept quiet. Suppose they laughed at her. Suppose Naaman did not get cured. Suppose they thought it all part of an artful scheme to get Naaman to Israel and then have him killed. There are always excuses for not talking about Jesus. Leave well alone. They've got their own religion. Well, I don't really know enough. It's none of my business anyway. This girl showed genuine faith in God. She cared enough to speak up. She knew there was a remedy available, and she commends it in the simplest possible words. If my master would see the prophet, he would cure him of his leprosy. So let's speak up. One word of truth can change a person's life. So, Naaman left, taking with him a letter that he took to the king of Israel. With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. As a result of the girl's testimony, arrangements were made to send Naaman to Israel with a large gift of gold and silver and fine clothes and a letter from the king of Syria to the king of Israel. Now, that was the first of some rather grave mistakes that Naaman made. The Jewish girl had spoken of going to see a prophet, but Naaman preferred to go to the top, so he went to the king. Unsurprisingly, the king was not happy to receive such a letter. He was upset. He ripped his clothes. He saw the letter as a provocation to start another war. "What's going on here?" he says. "That king of Syria is trying to pick a fight with me. That's what." Many people are looking in the wrong place for God's salvation. They may try drugs, alcohol, the occult, new philosophy. They may think it's more about who you know. "Well, that's all right. My father was a vicar. My uncle's a bishop. I've actually met the Pope." The Bible tells us that Jesus is the way, and everyone who calls out, "Help me, God," gets help. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him a message. "Why have you torn your robes? Make the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and his chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. So Elisha the prophet heard what had happened, and he invited the great Syrian general to come to his residence in Gilgal. Just picture the scene. As Naaman's horses and chariots drew up outside Elisha's humble dwelling. And Elisha sent down a servant to meet him with this message. "Go to the River Jordan, immerse yourself 7 times, your flesh will be restored, and you will be cured of your leprosy." And now we come to Naaman's second grave mistake. He did not like the cure. Naaman went away angry. He said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy." Naaman didn't like God's man, Elisha, who sent a servant. He didn't like the message. He didn't like God's method. "What?
Go and wash in that dirty river. He'd got much better rivers at home. He'd imagined there would have been so much more to it than this. He thought the prophet would have come out to him and prayed to his God and performed some sort of sacred ceremony or engaged in some mystical incantation. This simple, "You're going dirty and come out clean," did not suit Naaman at all. He lost his temper and drove off in a huff. Many people, when they hear the gospel that salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't like it. It seems too easy. Surely we need to do something. Then we can get there by our own merits. But Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? I love the gentle reasoning of the servants. You would have done some great thing. Do this simple thing. Thank God for faithful servants who will speak to their superiors in such a way. They were bold enough and caring enough to give Naaman the good advice he needed to hear. A brilliant, logical approach. The great man now humbled himself and went down to the river with his servants. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. All his pride and disdain and reluctance, they've gone. And in front of his men, and doubtless a crowd of curious Israelites come to see the great foreign general, Naaman went down into the water. 6 times, and he was still a leper. But when, in perfect trust and obedience, he had dipped himself 7 times, his flesh was restored and became like that of a young boy. This is the power of God, of the love of God, mediated to us. And the terms are so simple. Come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Naaman's attitudes are stressed. When his flesh was restored, so was he. Now I know, he says, now I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there is no other God anywhere on earth other than the God of Israel. When Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God, he stood before him and said, now I know there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept a gift from your servant. But Elisha, he waved the gift. He was not going to look as though He was looking for a gift. He did not want to prevent any misunderstanding. He didn't seek monetary gain for proclaiming God's word. Naaman was healed by divine grace, not by the power of Elisha. And Naaman wanted to be different, to take some point of contact with the Lord back home to his home in Syria. And so he asks for this strange gift, asks for some earth, as much as a team of donkeys can carry, because he's never again going to worship any other god. Let your servant be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry. Your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. He's going to stand on some of their soil so that he thinks that that will be how God will recognize him, as it were. In 1955, the great soap company, Procter & Gamble, launched a new bar of soap called Zest. Within weeks, it became a top-selling brand because something about the advertising slogan caught the public imagination. The slogan said, "For the first time in your life, feel really clean." Do you remember it? Some of you might, some of you not. That's what Naaman found. And that's what we can find when we plunge into God's remedy for sin and know what it is to be really clean. Amen. Amen. Let's sing the hymn 966 in your book. Of course, it'll be on the screen. Wonderful grace that gives what I don't deserve, pays me what Christ has earned, then lets me go free. Wonderful grace that gives me the time to change, washes away the stains that once covered me. And all that I have, I lay at the feet of the wonderful Saviour who loves me. Let's sing. Please sit down. We come now to our prayers of intercession, and as we all know, there is so much to pray for. We could be here for a lot longer if we went round the world and prayed for every situation. Let's remember that God is God and there is no other. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, you are God of peace and justice. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine and all places suffering because of war. We cry to you that peace and justice will prevail. We pray for all who are suffering or afraid. We pray that you will be close to them and protect them. We pray for world leaders, that they may be guided by compassion and wisdom. We pray that we may reach out in solidarity to those in need. Lord, lead us from death to life, from falsehood to truth. Lead us from despair to hope, from hate to love, from war to peace. Lord, forgive us for everything that stands in the way of peace, our fears of one another, our use of vast resources for destruction, our failure to work together for the good of all. Lord, we pray for all those who have experienced natural disasters in recent days. We hear the cries of orphaned children and of bereaved parents. We feel the desperation of those searching for loved ones. We see the devastation and we're overwhelmed by the enormity of earthquakes and floods and wildflowers and tsunami and the power of wind and wave. Lord, will you comfort them in disaster? Will you be their rock when the earth refuses to stand still? Will you shelter them when their homes no longer exist, and console the hearts of those who mourn? And we ask that you will pierce too our hearts. We who watch from afar, move us to act swiftly, to give generously, to pray unceasingly. Lord, in your great mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we live in difficult times. Division infiltrates every layer of society, separating even close friends and family. Lord, be with us here this morning as we come together as your people to lift up our country and our leaders. Protect us from the divisiveness which threatens our nation. Unify us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray for national revival and spiritual healing. Search our hearts and minds and reveal what is not your will. We are plagued by anxiety on all fronts, health and social care, civil unrest, financial hardship, concerns about safety in school and public buildings. Yet your word tells us not to be anxious, but in every situation to present our requests to God. Help us to commit to pray for our community and our country, to show your love and your mercy, to intercede for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Gracious God, we know that your love is infinite and that you care about all areas of life. In this time of insecurity, keep us mindful that our security is in you. Give us courage to face the choices that life brings. Give us wisdom to choose the right way. May we see you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, to the glory of your name. And we pray all our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So we come to our last hymn, number 178, Go Forth and Tell. O Church of God, awake. God's saving news to all the nations take. Proclaim Christ Jesus, Saviour, Lord and King, that all the world his worthy praise may sing. May the Lord bless you and take care of you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favour and give you peace. Amen.